This program contains strong language. We strongly recommend you listen with headphones.
The Burst Drama Special.
Welcome to the Burst Drama Special on Burst Radio. I'm Richard Carey, and in this special program, we have 8 exciting and new short-form radio dramas to play for you. These dramas are directed by Burst's very own production team and written by students on the MA scriptwriting course right here at Bournemouth University. We'll also be catching up with some of the scriptwriting students, including Luca Watts and Midnight Sparkle, to find out about their writing process and what they thought of their final dramas. Let's start with our first drama. It's directed by Winnie Simon and written by Harriet Mephalam. The Necklace follows Melissa, a young woman on the run who has stolen a necklace. She decides to seek refuge in a local pub where she happens to find the perfect scapegoat.
It wasn't an epiphany moment. It wasn't like one moment I was safe in my parents' arms, in their trust bubble, and the next I'm smashing a window with a rock I'd found at the side of the road. I guess I finally got sick of the pressure and the expectation, and I don't even know anymore. All I can hear in my ears is this rushing air. And all I can see before me is my mother's disappointment and anticipation and... Rum and Diet Coke, please.
ID.
Diet Coke, please.
Where are you from then?
What?
Whereabouts you from?
I wanted to escape, you know? Like you do when you read a book or watch a movie and you just delve into that world until the book or the movie is over. And then you're thrust once again into real life.
Does it matter?
Nah, I suppose not. I'm from Milton Keynes.
Fascinating.
Same again, please, love. Cheers.
He's kind of disgusting. And it would be so perfect, I suppose. But that just seems so underhanded. He's just there, next to me, talking to me, though I don't think he's truly talking to anyone. And I have it, the necklace, burning a hole in my pocket.
Never liked it here much. What about you?
Me neither. It's cold.
I know they're out there, somewhere, waiting. And I stand out because I'm too young, because I'm a girl, I don't know. But I stand out. And I'm rooted to my seat and I can't move. And my heart is pounding in my chest. And I can feel it weighing me down.
Always fancied a bit of adventure myself. Get out of England, you know. You're still young.
But I can't do it. Can't slip the necklace to him. Can't force him to live with the consequences of my actions. I also can't risk them asking me anything because I'm just not good under pressure. But him, he'd probably last. He'd probably be drunk. Breathe in and out again. Relax. Thanks. I needed that talk. Whoops. Sorry.
It's all right, darling.
I am sorry.
The Necklace was written by Harriet Mather-Lamb and adapted for radio by Winnie Simon, with assistance from Sam Hawkins and Adam Aspinall. Melissa was played by Harriet Mather-Lamb, and the man at the bar was played by Dave May. From Necklaces to North Korea. North Korean Ducks is a tale of two young travellers who find themselves on a boat from the Sino-Korean Friendship Bridge in China to North Korean waters.
It's all routine. You wake up, go to work, come home, go to sleep, and watch the grey days fall away. You see the same people, go to the same places, do the same things. That's when time's got you right where it wants you. It gets comfortable, faster and faster, and before you know it, you're old. It's all routine. But when you travel, when you move, get up and go, you mess with time. It doesn't like it, it gets confused. When you're awake, alert, alive, learning, figuring things out, days can last forever.
Oh man, we're here? Isn't it strange how it's called Friendship Bridge and half of it's blown up?
Yep. We should get some pictures here, though. The war monument's pretty cool.
Hello? You go to North Korea?
How much? Yibai? For two. The Lianga? I mean, for one, two people?
Bai.
200 seems a little expensive.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like we're gonna say no. It's the only reason we came here. Screw it, come on.
Abby, what if we just volunteered to go to a labor camp or something?
Why would you think that?
She said, go North Korea. I didn't think we could actually go there. You said it was just to the river, on this side, the freedom side.
I heard native North Korean women come across the river to sell you their shit. Booze, cigarettes, souvenirs, even money.
Yeah, but there's no way that money's real. It's illegal for the currency to exit the country.
I don't know. Maybe it's old, out of circulation or something. It would make a goddamn fine memento.
Go North Korea. What did she mean?
Look, man, there she is! North Korea! So close you could spit on it!
Yeah, but don't. It would be like making some kind of strong statement.
Check your GPS. I want to see it. I want to see the satellite navigational proof.
Holy shit. Look! We're moving closer to the borderlines. We're not stopping.
Oh man, you're right! Entering North Korean waters!
50 meters! We're gonna cross!
Yes! Screenshot that shit. We won't get a passport stamp or anything. We need some kind of evidence we were here. This happened.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Abby. Some North Korean ducks.
They're out of here. They're defecting.
Hello.
Hey! See, Isaac, I told you they have money. It looks pretty legit.
Get me some whiskey.
Okay. I'll take this, 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 and some of these. Can we take a photo with you? Photo? Photo? Selfie?
Mm-hmm. We did it, Abby.
Hell yeah.
North Korean Ducks was written by Richard Collins and adapted for radio by Cher Dunn with the assistance of Sam Hawkins. Abby was played by Cher Dunn, Isaac was played by Richard Collins, with additional roles played by Sarah Wang. Next up, we have Moving, a radio drama written by Luca Watts and directed by Ben Greenland. Ben caught up with Luca to find out the process he used to write the script and his reaction to hearing the drama for the first time.
Luca, last year you wrote a 5-minute script for a radio drama.
I did.
Which I then produced.
Yes.
Which you haven't heard yet.
No, I haven't.
It's quite exciting.
I'm intrigued to see how it's ended up. Yeah.
All right, so let's start off with, what is your script writing process? Can you talk us through how the process works for you? So you get set a brief, you have to turn it into something. How does that work for you?
The only real limit that we kind of had for this was that it had to be 5 minutes. Is what we were told, and I assumed that would be around about a minute a page, which turned out to not be entirely true.
Okay, what is it?
Basically, so far as I'm aware, 3 pages is 5 minutes.
So it's like 1.333 recurring minutes.
Something like that, okay. If I could do maths. Hmm. So we were given basically quite a lot of freedom to just come up with anything we wanted. Because we had a load of other things on the go at the same time, I thought it would be nice if I tried to do something a bit different than what I normally do for this. Normally, my kind of shtick is basically comedy. So I wanted to try and branch out and see if I could go down a slightly more sincere or dramatic path.
Do you feel you succeeded?
I succeeded up to a point. I think I kind of eventually decided that it's actually slightly more enjoyable if you're trying to talk about some kind of vaguely important subject, put a bit of comedy in there as well, because it just makes things a little bit easier to deal with, generally, I tend to think, at least.
I think you're right. I think it's nice to break up that, isn't it? I think from a producer's point of view, I think you hit the comedy-drama nail on the head really well.
Thank you.
I think there's a couple of very, as we'll hear in a bit, there's a couple of really nice little subtle jokes in there, and quite a nice gentle use of sarcasm. I thought was quite... Both characters use a bit of sarcasm, don't they?
Yeah.
At different points, which I was really pleased about. Just to backtrack a little bit, when you get a brief and the brief is completely open-ended, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's quite nice to just have that complete freedom, but at the same time, there's no parameters. It can also put quite a lot of pressure on you, can't it?
It can. I want some kind of limit to kind of push me down a certain path and give me some kind of inspiration, really, rather than just kind of, you know, having to work out anything possible that could go in there. And there's also, I guess, a certain element of, like, do something good, basically. And if you're not really being given any kind of objective criterion what that might be, yeah, it's a bit harder to work out where the right path to go is, especially if you're doing something in a medium I'd very, very rarely written anything in before, like radio. So, I see what you mean about it being completely kind of double-edged.
So you say you've not written for radio before. You had written for radio before?
I've not. I've written 2 pages of a script about 3 years ago that I never really pursued with, that was basically an extended, very silly joke in a kind of vague setting about a vet who lived in the Highlands in Scotland, who would go around fixing all of these animals and having affairs with all of the housewives who lived in the mountain cottages and things. And that was not what I would necessarily call particularly good in any way. Uh-huh. Or it was quite fun to write.
In my production mind, I'm imagining all the sounds of all that going on, which is it's a good imaginary soundscape to my mind.
It's a nice world to be in. To be fair,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The philandering vet.
Mm. And he had a ketamine problem as well.
Okay. Okay, well, that slows things
natural.
Down a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes things more relaxed. nothing quite as relaxed as an anaesthetic.
Yeah.
So what were the challenges for writing something for radio?
Well, you kind of have to think entirely differently if you're generally trained to write in a sort of film or TV visual way. In something like that, you can just put, we are in a room, and that's basically all you have to do, and then you can move on. With radio, you've got to be thinking, oh, blimey, what does this room sounding like? How is anybody going to listen to this and have any kind of understanding of where we are?
And how did you do that?
I guess lots of going to the places, the kind of vague places that I wanted it to be set, and thinking about what I could hear. So if this one would be like starting off in a bedroom, you know, you would just kind of have to sit and listen to what you're kind of hearing in a bedroom for quite a long time, yeah. Which was...
And do you find yourself putting little clues in the dialogue as well?
Well, that was something that I should have avoided, although I don't really know why. I think just because it would have seemed, again, a little bit too kind of forced and expositiony. And you know, nobody entirely talks in that way in real life. You wouldn't have somebody say, oh, look at this brown chair standing right beside me. Isn't that interesting? So I kind of tried to avoid that as much as I could. But then it at times sort of becomes a necessity. Otherwise, you really are leaving people without any understanding of what's actually going on.
Yeah, there's a trick to actually bringing people to the space you want them to be in. Without the visual stimulus, as creatives, audio creatives, we are reliant upon triggering the listener's imagination.
Exactly.
And we have to use audio triggers, linguistic audio triggers, to fire up a picture in the imagination so that the listener is coming along with us, so to speak.
No, it's a very specific skill that you must have to be very kind of well rehearsed in to really nail, I think.
I think it's going to take practice. It takes practice like any other writing skill. Writing's really hard work. I find that not until you start writing does one realise just how clunky our language is. I don't know if you've ever tried this as a writer, but to try and write a description of a glass of water on a table.
Oh, God.
The amount of words
that
one has to use just to explain what a glass of water is and how a glass of water looks is huge.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get anywhere with it.
Exactly. And then you've got to kind of bear in mind that, like, people are actually kind of going to read this at some point, hopefully, and they'll need to not, you know, slip into a coma while it's happening. And at the same time, got to, give them some idea of what's actually going on. And that is really hard, like you're saying.
It is, isn't it? Mm. And what were the challenges? What were the challenges of writing such a short form piece as well? Because to get a whole story in 5 minutes, that's quite a skill as well.
That was definitely the main challenge of this. I assumed if I wrote 5 pages, that would be good enough. But then I found out that it's very much not, and I needed to, you know, almost halve it. Given already 5 pages is really not a lot to have a story that's got a beginning, middle, and end, and is set in 3 different places with, you know, 2 prominent characters, I had to take out lots and lots of stuff while at the same time trying to take out absolutely nothing, because it felt like I couldn't really lose anything. Figuring out what the heck to cut down was very hard. I spent much more time doing that than I did actually writing it.
From my point of view, I think you did a really good job. I think the story was intact. So just very quickly before we listen to it, just give us a quick premise.
It's about a teenage boy called Tim who has possibly just died, and somebody is coming to visit him.
And it's also based on a Greek myth, isn't it?
It is based on a Greek myth, yes.
So essentially it's Hermes, who has transpired to be Hermia, who is played by lovely actress Jade Dillon. And Tim is the newly deceased. And Hermia has come to take the newly deceased Tim to the River Styx, to where he will be transported to the underworld.
Yep.
All right, let's give it a listen. Moving by Luca Watts. Adapted for radio by BPR Greenland.
Who are you?
Doesn't matter, Hermia. Doesn't matter. I'm calling to help.
I don't need anybody's help.
Of course not. Because your soul is still in this world, which was clearly part of your plan. Do you know what you are?
Don't patronise me. I watch enough old horror films. Watched enough.
Man, I'm surprised my old ceiling fan could take my weight. Why are you calling?
Because I know you're too afraid to go outside without encouragement. That's also why I'm by your house. Float over to the window if you don't believe me.
That's you. I thought you'd look more edgy.
What's wrong with lumberjack shirts?
Nothing for lumberjacks, not for a ghost whisperer.
We call it psychopomp.
Good for you. Look, I'm not good with people. Can you leave?
No. You're in the wrong place. A lonely place. I'll get you somewhere better. It's not the Ritz, but you won't be alone.
It's not the underworld, is it? Is it? For fuck's sake.
No, it's cool. It's chill. It's where everyone goes. All the souls. Except for people like you. You die before your time. You get stuck here. For 100 years.
Blimey.
See, death is a new life. And you don't get it until you're ready. But you weren't ready. You just wanted life to stop.
So, to die, I have to accept life. Good luck.
We'll start by getting you outside your room. Okay. Then I'll come and get you. By ringing your doorbell. I'm sure you will be happy to meet me.
Except we're going to a river. There aren't many rivers in this high street. We're not going to be walking all night, are we?
I didn't know you had plans. Look, for me to help you, you have to talk. Sincerely. Why did you want life to stop?
Not happening. I might go back. This is stupid. I'd rather be alone.
If you insist. I've got to do 10 of these by sunrise. See ya. If you're leaving, leave. Has being alone worked out for you?
Is that supposed to be a joke?
Kind of.
I'll float with you. I still think this is a bit weird.
Boat. That ugly guy is Sharon.
Why?
He'll ferry you.
Oh, not you.
I only go so far. You need to walk alone from here.
I don't know if...
This is being alive. With people. You've enjoyed this, haven't you?
A bit. I guess. Why watch yourself? Sit down. Indeedio.
In Moving by Luca Watts, Jade Dillon played Hermia, Saul Abash played Tim, all other parts were played by members of the cast, and it was produced and directed by BPR Greenland. So we've heard it.
We have.
What are your thoughts?
It's really bloody good. When I finished the script quite a few months ago, I sort of thought, oh God, not sure how brilliantly I've done with that one. But really brought it to life in a very impressive way. And you can completely just picture everything. There's a full kind of world there that you've created with all of those sounds, and I'm really impressed with it.
That's nice. I'm mirroring the writer's difficulty in as much as I wanted to create space and sound, and I wanted sound to be a big part of triggering the imagination of the listener, but at the same time there wasn't that much space to be able to do that.
Space to work with it in, yeah.
So I found I was having to sort of make imaginary space where there wasn't really any. So the piece at the beginning where there's just the room and the creaking of the rope, which is obviously a big
a big clue.
Signpost.
Yeah.
Big clue, big signpost as to what's going on. I've needed to try and create the illusion that that was happening for quite a long time. It was a really interesting, from a production point of view, to work in such a short form piece was a really, really challenging to be able to make that work. I was very impressed with the acting. I think they both did a really great job.
They did, didn't they?
And you remember how quick it was to record?
I know, yeah.
It was like, what, 2 hours maybe?
That at maximum. Yeah. With them, yeah, everything was just kind of immediately done really well.
They were both very, very skilled actors.
And that must be another kind of challenge in itself, to just have your mouth to kind of get all of these emotions across with.
Definitely. Great. Well, thanks for coming in, Luca.
Thank you.
Nice one. Really appreciate you taking the time to come and discuss your piece. That was really great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Burst Drama Special.
Thanks to Luca and Ben there, and Ben wasn't the only one to adapt Luca's drama script into a production. Director Mo Damalak also did the same thing with his production of Moving.
Tim.
Who are you?
Doesn't matter. I'm here to help.
I don't need anyone's help.
Of course not, because your soul is still in this world, which was clearly part of your plan. Do you know what you are?
Don't patronise me. I watch enough horror films. I've watched enough. I'm surprised my old ceiling fan could take my weight. Why are you calling?
Because I know you're too afraid to go outside without encouragement. That's also why I'm by your house. Float over to the window if you don't believe me.
That's you? I thought you'd look more edgy.
What's wrong with lumberjack shirts?
Nothing for lumberjacks. Not for a ghost whisperer.
We call it psychopomp.
Good for you. Look, I'm not good with people. Can you leave?
No. You're in the wrong place. A lonely place. I'll get you somewhere better. It's not the Ritz, but you won't be alone.
It's not the underworld, is it? Is it? Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, it's cool. It's chill. It's where everyone goes. All of the souls. Except for people like you, who die before your time. You get stuck here for 100 years.
Blimey.
See, death is a new life. And you don't get it until you're ready. But you weren't ready. You just wanted life to stop.
So to die, I have to accept life. Good luck.
We'll start by getting you outside your room. Okay, then I'll come and get you by ringing your doorbell. I'm sure your mum will be happy to meet me.
You said we were going to a river. There aren't many rivers on the high street. We're not going to be walking all night, are we?
I didn't know you had plans. Look, for me to help you, you have to talk. Sincerely, why did you want life to stop?
Not happening. I might go back. This is stupid. I'd rather be alone.
If you insist. We've got to do 10 of these by sunrise. See ya. If you're leaving, leave. Has being alone worked out for you?
Is this supposed to be a joke?
Kind of.
I'll float with you, but I still think it's weird.
See your boat? That ugly guy, Charon, he'll ferry you.
No, not you.
I only go so far. You need to walk alone from here.
I don't know if...
This is being alive, with people. You've enjoyed this, haven't you?
A bit, I guess.
Indeedio.
That was Moving, written by Luca Watts. Stephen Benfield starred as Tim, with Brooke Turner as Hermina. The producer and director was Mo Damalak. This is the Burst Drama Special with me, Richard Carey, on Burst Radio. Still to come, we have 4 more brand new radio dramas. Plus, we'll be catching up with Midnight Sparkle, writer of the radio drama Tea Talks. Now, Alice volat propriet, translated from Latin as she flies with her own wings, is a short contemplative piece. It follows Max, who still hears the voice of his dead wife Irene. He travels to a lighthouse they once visited together to try and finally get closure on her death.
Five, occasionally three at first, then increasing six for a time later. Mainly fair, good. Line reaches to Land's End, including the Isles of Scilly.
Do you think it
southwest
might rain?
Three or four, increasing five at times. Mainly fair, good. Land's End to St. David's Head, including the Bristol Channel. West or southwest, four or five, increasing six at times. Showers becoming fair later, good. Great Orne Head to Muller Galloway, south or southwest, four or.
Do you think it might rain? That was some walk. It feels as if you are on the verge between land and sea. It's so peaceful and magnificent. The sun lights up the world and gives nature its colours back. The dead stars painted over by the blue sky. And the moon. The moon doesn't want to disappear. At least, not yet. You should smile more. Max, what are you doing? I don't want you dead.
Don't worry. It's only a candle.
Thank you for everything. I love you and always will.
Alice Follett Propriet was written by Sophie Goman. It starred Bliss Megan Winder as Irene, Sam Hawkins as the radio presenter, and Adam Aspinall as Max. Production assistance from Ben Greenland. The producer and director was Adam Aspinall. This is the Burst Drama Special. So now we move on to Tea Talks, which is a drama that was directed by myself, Richard Carey, and the script was written by Midnight Sparkle, who joins me in the studio right now.
Hello.
Hi, Midnight. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So we're here to talk about Tea Talks. Can you tell us a little bit about the drama before we play it for you?
Yeah, sure. So Tea Talks follows a couple who at first seem pretty normal, possibly quite dull, until their conversation starts to develop into, it goes quite dark. They start to attack each other verbally until eventually, yeah, it gets very dark at the end.
Okay, so we're going to listen to the drama now and then we're going to have a bit of discussion afterwards. So here is Tea Talks.
Strange. There are leaves missing. Rover? No. Of course not.
Tea's ready.
I'll just be a second.
It'll get cold.
Okay, okay. I'm here.
No, let me, dear.
This isn't very sweet, Margaret.
Are you complaining about my tea?
No, no, it's just different. Would be lovely with a biscuit, though. Where are they?
It's always food with you. Oh, go and get them.
The missing leaves. This sour-tasting tea. She wouldn't, would she? No. What am I thinking? Guess there's only one way to find out, though. There. I'm sure there's nothing wrong. We'll both be fine.
You notice the biscuits, never my hair.
Hang on a minute. Coming from the woman who spends 15 minutes to check her delivery doesn't take that long.
It doesn't with you, that's for sure.
You know what?
What? Silence, your trademark.
You want to know what I think?
It's now or never.
You think I killed Rover?
What? I...
Come on, spit it out.
Well, did you? You always complained about how needy he was. You'd take him around the garden instead of on a natural walk.
Ha! I know you did the same. You complained about walking him in the rain and it always rains. How do I know you didn't kill him? You probably led him to those plants. You really did it.
I wanted you to feel how he would have felt when you... How? I was so careful.
I'd switch the tea. So you poison Rover?
Of course not. So you didn't?
No.
Hello, you've reached
Jonathan
and Margaret. Please leave your message after the beep.
Mr. and Mrs. Darlington, hi. I'm calling from Springwood Veterinary. Unfortunately, my colleague made a mistake earlier when she contacted you. We got your dog confused with another dog called Ronnie. Very sorry about the mix-up. But it's good news I can confirm that Rover is alive and well. He merely ingested an old biscuit. Well, if you could give me a call back on this number to arrange a pickup time, that would be great. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
Reva's alive. This was all for nothing.
It was such balls.
We're meant to be.
So that was Tea Talks there, which starred Mark Wheeler as Jonathan, Kim Cox as Margaret, myself, Richard Carey, as the vet, and it was written by Midnight Sparkle and directed by Richard Carey. So, Midnight, I know you've listened to that before, but what were your reactions to the final piece?
Yeah, I think that was amazing. It was really good hearing it on headphones, especially. I think you did a brilliant job and the actors were amazing. The background music you chose and how everything just came together, it really felt like I wanted it to when I was writing it. It really gave off that feeling.
For me, like, I guess so. I was trying to make a bit of musicality within the piece with like the classical music use, and even with the heartbeat stuff, which was kind of a sort of robotic repetitiveness of the heartbeats, and then they sort of get faster and faster in that.
Yeah, I definitely think that worked well. And with the ticking as well, it all just came together in their final moments.
It's quite funny about ticking clocks, because I used one in, I did a 3-minute piece in December, which also had ticking clocks. And I think it's the same sound effect I recorded in December, I reused. So I think it's gonna, I'm going to have to somehow get ticking clocks in my master's project, just for continuity reasons, consistency. So can you tell us a bit about what inspired you to write that script? Was it based on like your own experience? Or
I hope that's not my own experience.
Well, no, I mean anything like you've listened to, anything that's, you know, inspired you.
Yeah, so my initial ideas when I was told to write a radio play were that radio plays were quite boring initially.
Okay.
And obviously my eyes have totally opened to the new possibilities since then. But I thought it would be really interesting to start with something that followed my initial thoughts, and then it progressed and kind of subverts the audience into becoming what it became. It began with the idea of a couple poisoning each other and how their conversation as they're dying would increase in how they kind of attack each other's personal lives. And then it just grew from there, starting from the beginning and then eventually ending up how it did.
Yeah,
with your help as well.
Yeah,
obviously we collaborated and it changed as it does, and yeah, I'm really happy with how it went in the end.
I remember we did sort of look at a lot of the different script drafts. I think it really stuck out to me as director of this project that it had a lot of potential, but there were some things that needed to be changed to make it more radio-centric, and I think, you know, we managed to do that very well in the sort of the editing process afterwards.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It needed honing to keep its integrity, and together we, yeah, achieved that.
Have you written for radio before? Is it something you're used to? Is it something you've ever done before?
This was a completely new experience for me, and I think it was a really good one to try and go from visual thinking, which is what I usually do, to thinking in sounds. It was really beneficial to think in sounds and think about how a story can progress without being seen.
Yeah, and you've got that sort of open, almost an open book in the audio form. If you set something in Victorian times, you don't have to get the costume, the location or anything like that. You can actually make it with sound. So it has that, you know, potential of going in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, definitely. The potential, like you say, that radio has, I just didn't even think about it before, but now there's just, it's just limitless, really.
You're with me for the production process. I think one of the things I wanted to chat about to you is about the actors, because I think the actors did a really good job, but there was a slight change in terms of one of the actors from what you were going for in the script of being quite sort of upper class. Did you feel that affected it by not having that sort of the male actor having that sort of upper class accent, I guess?
Initially, I was kind of thinking, oh, this changes it completely, but obviously it doesn't really change it. I think the main message of the story still comes across no matter where they're from, really.
I think what was really good about that, it was really quite a streamlined process, because I think we were recording about a 3-hour session, wasn't it? And then we were pretty much done, which is probably one of the benefits of radio, having done the visual side as well. It could be a lot quicker to get things done. You don't have to set up shots, set up lighting, set up camera, that sort of thing. So it is quite useful, I guess, that radio has that benefit.
Yeah, I was amazed at how quickly not only it could all be recorded, but how quickly you could then put it all together. I was blown away by how soon after we recorded it, you sent me an almost finished piece, really.
Yeah, I think that's because of how I work, I guess, with the editing process. You can't really do it for like half an hour. You have to sort of have a session of doing it. Really, once you've got that material there, it's a case of going through the different takes, trying to find the best option, but also the one that works, because sometimes the best option doesn't work for whatever reason. So it might just not flow well enough or something like that. But I think we're quite lucky, really, with the actors who went really far for the production. I remember the one point where we asked them to just breathe heavily, and it sounded a little bit awkward, but they were very much on board with that, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, I think the actors were amazing, and getting on the floor as well to get the different sounds. They really went out of their way to get the feeling across, and I think the way that you directed them as well was really good. It displayed that you definitely had the same vision that I had, which was really great to see.
I mean, I think the actors almost went further than I expect them to, but actually it really helped bring the whole thing up. Without that, we would have been struggling for something that would have really, you know, hit. But this is one of the good challenges actually about it. When I look at it back, it could have been sort of a very straight domestic sort of happening, but instead it's like a drama, and it's got the voiceover in, it's got all the different parts of it, which, you know, make it work, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the first drafts would have been very dull and domestic, but after our meetings and chats, we're kind of thinking more about the different dynamic sounds you could add.
We try to look beyond the characters, like even the character of the dog, which is kind of an off-screen character, if you will, but it was just thinking about and what the dog meant to the characters, really. That was the main thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was definitely one of our main meetings, was talking about the relationship with the dog. And yeah, it definitely paid off.
I remember we had a big thing about the name. I actually put a question out on Twitter, like asking people for dogs' names around it, just to see if we could get them. And everyone just came up with joke names. Well, oh, well, why do they even bother?
Was it Doggy McDuck Face?
That would have been a bit noticeable if it was Doggy McDuck Face. Yeah. Has this like inspired you to pursue radio script writing or something in the future, or any avenues?
Yeah, definitely. I've already thought about a few more radio plays that I think would be really cool to get made, and I'm definitely thinking in sounds a lot more now. Even with my visual scripts, I'm thinking, what does it sound like as the visuals are happening? And I think this experience has definitely helped progress that side of things. If you watch any horror movie on mute, it's nowhere near as scary. It doesn't have any of the same effects or feelings. Sounds just help you feel the moment so much.
It's so much reminds me of those YouTube trailers where they got the sort of they change the context of films like Mrs. Doubtfire's horror film or stuff like that.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Yeah,
the editing. Yeah.
But thanks very much for joining me for this interview. You've got any projects on the go at the minute?
Oh, nothing too exciting.
Too exciting.
Yeah, I have actually. I've got two projects on the go. A short film called Aurelia, which is about a nymph who falls in love with a human boy.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Directed by Caro and produced by Sophia. And the other is City Courier, and it's about a woman who delivers goods and she's happy with her life, but everyone else seems to think she should change her life.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to seeing and hearing more from your work in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I hope you can watch those with your eyes closed and still get the story.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks, Midnight.
Thank you.
The Burst Drama Special.
It's the Burst Drama Special. I'm Richard Carey, and we've got two more exciting dramas to play for you before the end of the show. The first is Life Issues, a story about our dreams and what they can tell us about our worst fears. It features Dawn, who imagines everything she ever wanted, but then it takes a nasty turn.
Mum, Mum, please, Mum. Excuse me, Mum, but I'm forced to ask you to go back inside the plane and occupy your seat. Any passenger is allowed to stay here. This is so dangerous and we are about to depart. Oh dear, sorry darling. I didn't know that. I just wanted to have a cigar before getting enclosed in that bloody bangler for 2 hours. Done, darling. Off we go. Thank you. Darling, is it safe for you to fly in that state? Pardon? Your pregnancy is quite advanced. What? I always wanted to have a son. It must be a wonderful experience to be a mother. But it was too late for me. Life issues. Oh my God, I can feel him. Be careful with what you do, sweetheart. Sorry. Do I know you? You don't know me yet, but I know you very well. And let me give you an advice. Don't make your decisions lightly. Your luck can change in less than a second. Sorry, ma'am, but I'm afraid I don't understand. My baby! You killed my baby! I told you. Where? Am I home? Was that a nightmare? God, this still hurts as hell. What? Why can't I move? Who is that? Oh, sweet girl, don't cry. Don't you want to be me? Your steps will follow that path.
Help! Please help! She'll kill me!
Be careful with what you want, darling. Be careful.
Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in.
Stop! I won't be you! Shut up! There's no baby. Hello?
Happy birthday, love.
Oh, hi, darling. Thank you.
Somebody doesn't feel so excited to turn 30, I reckon. Have you been running?
No, it's just I had a bad sleep. And you don't need to remember my age.
Your mood will change when you see the surprise I've got you for the weekend.
Sam, we have already talked about that. I will be the all weekend in Prague. I'm flying back on Monday.
Right, but you are free during the weekend, so I can go to visit you and we can...
I can't let you in. I mean, the hotel is paid by the company and only airline staff is allowed.
Oh, come on, babe. But can't I just sneak in? Nobody will notice. It's only two nights.
I don't want to take that risk. I'd rather be alone. Sorry, but I really need to go. I'm running late.
Okay. We will talk when you're free. How long is the flight?
2 hours. I'll call you when it lands.
Okay. I love you, Dawn. Be careful.
Life Issues was written by Andrea Bechia-Suarez. The woman and Dawn was played by Rebecca Kellaway. And Joe Greenslade played Sam. It was produced and directed by Flair Usher. Time for our final drama, and it's something truly out of this world. Captain Owl parodies the cheesy science fiction serials of the 50s and 60s. So come and join the adventures of Captain Alan Fazer.
This is Captain Alan Fazer of the UK USS Capable. 2 hours into our 42nd mission, and despite my best efforts, scouring the planet's surface, leaving no pebble unturned, my crew and I are no closer to locating the source of the strange...
Do you have to keep doing that every 15 minutes? I'm pretty sure we'd find it sooner if you stopped making diary entries.
It's not a diary. It's an audio log for when we return to Earth, detailing my perilous but valiant adventures.
I could not be more enthused.
Oh, Dee Dee.
It's Dee.
You could never understand such things. Then again, there are few who could comprehend the complex duties of a captain like myself. Even men like... Dee Dee? Where did you go?
Look, in the valley.
Gosh, Dee Dee, you're right. It looks like a dome of some kind. I knew when I personally picked you to join me in my search, I was doing myself proud. What do you suppose it is?
An isolated base on a desert planet. Have you ever known that to be anything but an evil lair?
Now we shouldn't judge, Dee Dee.
It's Dee.
The universe is an appropriately diverse place. But just in case, I'd better run on ahead. We wouldn't want you to fall victim to the horrors that may await us.
Or you could hand me a gun.
Ah, you made it. Don't worry, it's all perfectly safe.
Really? Giant, red, gun-looking thing in the centre and... Yep, it's pointed at the sun.
Yes, of course. Nobody in their right mind would build such an obviously sinister...
Nobody in their right mind indeed.
Oh, God.
Behold the sun, sucker. That's the device, by the way, not me. I'm Morbid. Professor Morbid? Mo for short.
Oh, yeah?
Ha! Don't waste your energy. Your tiny gun could never penetrate the true power of my containment force field.
Blast, Dee Dee. We should have seen this coming.
Ah, but you...
My name is Dee. Dee. Is it really that hard?
I think I'd know.
Look, can we just skip to the self-destruct button?
Silence! This is my part.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Ahem. Ah, but you didn't see it coming. Just as this planet won't see anything ever again. After I use my device to steal the power of the...
The sun?
Stop stealing my bit!
Come on, Dee. That's just disrespectful.
I bet he doesn't even have a motivation.
I do, too. Secret brother?
Double gasp!
Wait, isn't this where you break for the cliffhanger?
Will the brave Captain Alan Fazer and his lovable assistant, DDS Possible, escape? Will they stop the nefarious Professor Morbid, or Mo for short? Will any of us sci-fi nerds truly find love? Tune in next week to Captain Owl.
Captain Owl was written by Oliver Walton Harrod. Danny G. Anir played Alan Fazer. Winnie Simon played Dee. And Sam Hawkins played Professor Morbid and the narrator. The producer was Sam Hawkins. So that's a wrap on our Burst Drama special. We hope you enjoyed the dramas you've heard today, but if you missed any of them and want to listen again, just visit our website, burst.co.uk. Special thanks to our writers, Oliver Walton Harrod, Hattie Lamb, Midnight Sparkle, Luca Watts, Andrea Pagia Suarez, Sophie Goman, and Richard Collins. We'd also like to thank Joe Tyler, Nina Perry, and Alex Vegman for their support with the productions of these dramas. And let's not forget our fantastic radio producers Adam Aspinall, Mo Damalak, Cher Dunn, Ben Greenland, Sam Hawkins, Winnie Simon, Flair Usher and myself, Richard Carey. But most of all, thank you for listening and stay tuned to Burst. You never know when more drama might be on the way. Goodbye.